be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, and they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord. You know, we live in a world that demand of us that we make choices. And each of these choices that we make carry consequences. Some good, some not so good. In this scripture that we just heard from the gospel, Jesus says to people, blessed are you when you face reality. Because the thing that has come out of this is, Jesus is not saying, blessed are you if you follow the rules and do everything I want you to do. The blessing Jesus is talking about is ours. Jesus is talking about you and me. There were about 5,000 people on that hill, according to what we have found out. And he says to all of us, blessed are you. Blessed are you because. Because what? You have a right to ask that question. Blessed because we take Jesus into the reality of our lives. That it's all it takes. Some of us, I think, believe that we have to do also things. All those things happen because we invited Christ to be part of our lives. And as I go and do all the things that I do, and sometimes I'm very smart in what I'm doing, and sometimes I'm simply dumb. But whenever I go with the intention that I want to bless, it comes out all right. You know, when I was here, some of you remember I was here. It was right after the Civil War. I told a story, and some of you will remember it, and some won't because you were asleep. I told a story about Dr. John Bernardo. He and his wife were faithful Christians. They belonged to the Anglican Church in London. And he always tried to use his clinic. He was a medical doctor to help people. And one day, it was over now. He was going to close up the clinic. He was the last one leaving, turning off all the lights, and as he go into the front hall to lock and close the front door, he sees this little boy sitting over in the corner, shaking. This was winter. He went over. He said, what are you doing here? And the boy did not answer anything. He was just shaking, shivering. And so Dr. Bernardo sat down next to him and began to talk to him. And he says, "Where do you live?" And the little boy said, "Out there." "But don't you belong to anybody?" And he said, "They're out there." And he said, "Who are they?" Oh, he said, the little boy said, "All my friends." He said, "Are they not going home?" He said, "We don't have a home." So finally, Dr. Bernardo convinced this little boy, "Why don't we go and get them? Why don't we bring them here so they can be warm too?" And they went out and found them. There were 13 of them all together. And Dr. Bernardo brought them in. That began the blessings Dr. Bernardo began to give to children, beginning with one little boy and then 13. And now Dr. Bernardo's home for children have handled more than 80,000. You see, folks, the blessings is not so much what we must do. It's what we're able to do because our hearts are overwhelmed with the blessing Christ has given us. Ignore it. Christ has given us just by his presence. And it happens all the time. And you and I go into situations where we see things happening and someone needs our help or our attention. I ran into a story about a little store. You know, back in the old days before we got supermarkets, we had little stores where you were going to, and you got a number. And when they call your number, they would help you and sell you whatever. And so here, this story is about this little store. And it's the time of the day when everybody is on the way somewhere and they go in and the store is full. And finally, a single mother comes in with a little baby who's crying. And so they call a number, and there's a lady, and it's her turn. And she sees the little baby and the mother. And you know, she goes over to the mother and says, "Give me your number. It's your turn now." That is the life. That is the life we are asked to give, because we're so blessed. Each of us come here this morning and we have our own story. And there are stories sometimes of compassion and understanding. Some of you may have come this morning wondering how the heck you were going to work out this situation, either in the family or at work or whatever it was. Whatever the stories are, they all have the flavors of life. The flavor of joy or sadness, love and hate, hope or despair, thrills as well as boredom. But our story is not innocent or neutral. It's part of what we are as humanity. And this is what Jesus is addressing in this place. He's trying to say to these people in the opening part of this crucial talk that we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is saying to all these people, there's a blessing in there for you. Because Jesus is talking about the things that we live with, things we have to make choices about. He tells us we're blessed, that we have something to give, something to offer, something to share. And he says it in such a way that blessed are those who mourn. He's actually saying, if you're down, something has happened that's really put your spirit down, about it, and there will be somebody there who will help you find the blessing. You know, there was a man, and there was a family in France. They had two boys. One of them was John. He is the man who turned out to be the founder of the Presbyterian Church or Presbyterianism. He was actually a Catholic priest. And after Luther had done all his whatever he did, John Calvin felt more had to be done. And so he began Presbyterianism, because he turned the whole church upside down. And he got into a lot of trouble. He was deported from France. They didn't want him there anymore. The bishops and the archbishops did not want him around to screw up the church. And so he went into Germany for a while, ended up in Geneva, Switzerland. And there they let him stay. And he began to create a church. It was different. When I say he turned the church upside down, he simply said, the church is the people. We don't need a bishop. We don't need an archbishop or a pope. John Calvin said to them, you are the leaders. You are the one to take the gospel and tell the world about it. You are the one who must be in charge of this. John Calvin actually said to the clergy, the only thing you must be is a shepherd for the flock. And let the people tell you what they want and need. And that is the theology on which every Presbyterian church base its life. And one choice stands above all. Will you be a disciple of Christ, and will you pay the cost of discipleship? And then you can ask, what discipleship are you talking about? Really very simple. Make a commitment to love your neighbor, no matter where he comes from. Love God with all your heart and your mind and your body and your soul. And for you, it's very simple. Will you love and embrace everyone who is in this church? Will you pay attention to them? Just before church, I was talking to someone about the younger generation, because it's so difficult to pull them into the church. so difficult to find out what the younger generation wants. One of the things that thrills me, and I don't want to in any way for you to understand, I have a political statement to make. But one of our former presidents was asked to give a speech to the youth in the University of Cairo. And he spoke to them about hope. One of the most important things for the younger generation is knowing that there will be a tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. That's what this country was founded to be. I was asked to write an article for a paper. They wanted to ask me to comment on why I, as a foreigner, felt okay being in America. And I wrote in the article about a teacher I had in Denmark, a teacher who, when we were going to study America, there was a history book, there was a chapter on the United States. And he said to us the day before, "Said, go home and read some of this, because tomorrow we're going to be studying God's own country." For a Danish teacher to say such a silly thing, you sort of wonder. And one of my classmates said to him the next day, "Why did you call that America God's own country?" He said, "Because it's the only country in the world who welcomes everybody." And I'll never forget that. It made me curious. And eventually, I had a chance to go to America on an exchange program, and I run into this woman who insisted on marrying me. And she's sitting over here singing with you guys. And you may think that I was invited here because you like my sermons. No. I was invited here because they needed her to sing. I think the Beatitudes, the ones I read in the scripture today, can be seen as a program to move people from a state of need to a state of fulfillment. Because life offers us choices between rather significant elements in life, elements that have consequences. And so I want to reverse a little, and I will say, instead of talking about the negative, I say the Beatitudes were spoken by Jesus to say to the people of unhappiness, "You can be happy." For people who live with tragedy, you can have triumph and you can recover. You have problems, why don't you let them be your opportunity to go and love and care? Because when it comes down to it, what Jesus is talking about is, I want you to begin to look at what you're going through as temporary and begin to understand I came to bring you something that will be eternal. You know, I was a chaplain for the Iowa State Patrol, the troopers in Iowa, for some years. And one day the governor was going to give us all a piece of paper acknowledging that we were great people. You can always question that. But the fact is, he had a speaker the Speaker of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Mayor Lee Chancy. And she spoke, and she said, you know, I moved here to Cedar Rapids from Boston. I had been here 9 months, and I had not met one person who had invited me to anything. I had no friends. So here I go to Thanksgiving, and my grandma was there, and I told her, listen, I'm really disappointed. These Iowa people are not very friendly. I haven't been gotten involved with anybody. Grandma said, stop whimpering. Why don't you go out and volunteer and do something for other people? And you will find more friends than you can handle. And she said, I did. I've now been here for years. And find all these people who I thought were so unfriendly, elected me their mayor. You see, the choice in life is no longer what are we going to buy, who are we going to associate with. The real choice is who will we serve. Who will we take care of? Am I willing to love a humanity that does not deserve it? Do I trust that the Lord's way is better than anything else I can come up with? Do I believe that loving my neighbor is worth it? What place should the Lord take in my life? That's the question each of us must answer, make choice about. Because my personal relationship to God affirms my redemption, affirms God's grace in my life, affirms God's mercy. Because the gospel says we are forgiven and God has made all things new for us. This is why the title of this sermon is Rejoice and Be Glad. Have you ever heard of Billy Sunday? You know who I'm talking about? He was an evangelist way back when I just started being here after the Civil War, you remember? He said, if there is no joy in your life, if there's no joy in your faith, you have a leak in your religion. If our personal faith stays private, it becomes vulnerable and sometimes irrelevant. After the personal aspect of God is in place, God becomes public. And our faith calls us to reach beyond ourselves. And what God counts is how we use our particular social circumstance to love and serve both God and neighbor. And that, my friend, is the message of the gospel today. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us in.